Let's read together Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. In this first half of Acts chapter 10, we have the visions of Peter and Cornelius, which prepared the way for the Gentiles to be brought into the church. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he had observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by an angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Let's begin our study of Acts chapter 10 with some background notes. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. As a centurion, he would be over 100 soldiers. He was attached to the Italian regiment, as we read in verse 1. Now, Cornelius was what would be called a semi-proselyte of Judaism. That is, he believed in the one true God of Israel and accepted most Jewish beliefs and practices, but he was not a full-fledged proselyte because he had probably not been circumcised. Now, the big question, of course, about Cornelius is whether he was saved before he met Peter. In other words, was he like one of the Old Testament saints, such as Abraham, who believed in the one true God, and his faith was reckoned unto him as righteousness, as we read in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, Genesis 15:6. Certain verses here indicate that Cornelius was saved before he met Peter. Look again at verse 2. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. In verse 4, the angel said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." Now, could that be said of an unsaved person? In verses 34 and 35, Peter says to Cornelius, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him," certainly referring to Cornelius. All this was said, of course, before the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius. But on the other hand, in Acts chapter 11, Verses 13 and 14, we read in Peter's report more of what the angel had said to Cornelius. I'm reading Acts 11, 13 and 14. And he, that is Cornelius, told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." So from these verses, it sounds like Cornelius was not saved until Peter brought the gospel to the house of Cornelius. So what's the answer? Was Cornelius saved BP or AP? That is, before Peter's visit or after Peter's visit? Well, I think the best way to answer this question is as follows. Cornelius, unlike the vast majority of people, was living up to the light that God had given him. And therefore, God made himself responsible for getting more light to Cornelius. And God will do the same thing today. But as Romans chapter 1 says, most people have rejected the light that God has given them and even suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. And therefore, they are without excuse. So certainly more we could give in the background here. But let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first portion of Acts chapter 10. So doctrinal point number one, the vision of Peter reveals God's concept of the church. The vision of Peter reveals God's concept of the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Peter was there when the Lord spoke these words. And Peter had seen the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost as 3,000 Jewish converts were baptized. But the great truth of the church as the body of Christ, composed of Jews and Gentiles together, was yet to be revealed to the Apostle Paul, as we read in the epistles of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Colossians. However, here in the vision of Peter, God was already revealing that the church would be composed of Jews and Gentiles on an equal basis. God had certainly prepared Peter for this truth when the Samaritans were brought into the church in Acts chapter 8. But at least the Samaritans were part Jewish, and they held to many of the Old Testament traditions. But could it be that God was going to bring into the church uncircumcised pagan Gentile converts? When Peter was told to eat animals that were both clean and unclean under the Old Testament law, he said, "Not so, Lord." This is never a good response to the Lord, by the way. Peter had to be told three times that uncircumcised Gentiles were no longer to be considered unclean, but were on an equal footing with the Jews when brought together in the Christian church. The church was represented by the large sheet coming down from heaven in the vision. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul wrote that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. That is, Jews and Gentiles are equal in Christ. This great truth was revealed to Peter here in Acts chapter 10. The vision of Peter reveals God's concept of the church. Doctrinal point number two. The vision of Cornelius reveals God's concern for the lost. The vision of Cornelius reveals God's concern for the lost. How often we hear the question, "What about the heathen?" Or, "What about the people who have never heard the gospel?" If God is just and fair, how does he deal with these people? Well, I think Acts chapter 10 helps us answer that question. The way God dealt with Cornelius shows us God's concern for the lost. Remember, Cornelius was coming from a pagan Roman culture, a culture that had many gods and did not acknowledge the one true God. But Cornelius was a sincere seeker of the one true God, and Cornelius was living up to the light that he had received. When Cornelius came into contact with the God of Israel and the Old Testament scriptures, he responded to this increased light and became a proselyte of Judaism. And what was the result? God made sure that Cornelius received more light. God sent visions to both Peter and Cornelius and directed both of them what to do. And thus Cornelius hears the gospel and believes. Now, does God operate that same way today? Yes, I think he does. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in his sermon to the people of Athens. I'm reading Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 26. And he, that is God, and God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17, verses 26 through 28. Remember, the people of Athens were not Jews with the scriptures, but rather Gentiles who believed in many gods. But we see from this scripture that anyone who is really seeking the one true God, that person will find him. God will somehow get more light to those who are responding to the light that they already have. It may be through a missionary or some other means, but God will get more light to that person. Illustration. You know, just this past week, I was speaking to a college student who said that he had been an atheist until recently, when he had a near-death experience. Now he was convinced that there is a God, and he said he was seeking to learn more and know more about him. Well, he just happened to see me with a Bible and started asking questions, and I was able to give him some answers. Now he's interested in studying the Bible. Now, do you think this was all by chance? Of course not. God is concerned for the lost and is working behind the scenes to bring this young man to himself. The vision of Cornelius reveals God's concern for the lost. What about practical application from this first half of Acts chapter 10? Let's be glad that Peter was not like Jonah. Let's be glad that Peter was not like Jonah. Remember that it was from Joppa that Jonah first sailed away to Tarshish in disobedience to the Lord's call to go to Nineveh and preach God's message of grace to the Gentiles. And it is from Joppa that Peter received the call to bring the message to Cornelius and the Gentiles. Peter obeyed, and the gospel went out to the Gentile world. Aren't you glad? All of us here this morning can trace our salvation to Acts chapter 10. Notice that Peter was staying with Simon the tanner at this time. Look at the end of chapter 9, verse 43, Acts 9, verse 43. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. And verse 6 of chapter 10, he, that is Peter, right? Peter is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Well, what's a tanner? Tanners, of course, were involved with hides of animals, including unclean animals. So God was already preparing Peter for the vision and the call ahead. And when that call came, Peter did not sail away to Tarshish like Jonah did. No, Peter obeyed the call of God to preach to the Gentiles. Let's be glad that Peter was not like Jonah.